Good morning. We're going to call the Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee meeting to order. Representative Albright, do you have a motion on the minutes from February 11th?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Albright. Any discussion to the minutes on February 11th? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted from February 11th. This morning we have a couple bills on the agenda. The first one that we'll take up is House File 390. Representative Paul Torkelson. And I have on my notes here that this bill should be going to Ways and Means.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I will move House File 390 to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Welcome to the committee, and go ahead and introduce us to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill before you is the LCCMR bill for this year. It has a number of projects in it that are funded with LCCMR dollars. But the reason I'm here before you today is a change in the process for hiring staff. That change would be to give the authority for the hiring process to the LCC. As you may know, a similar change was made to the LSOHC bill recently here in this committee that would move the authority to the LCC. There are a number of directors of various agencies that are handled in this way already, and I believe that this change will actually protect the state of Minnesota from litigation problems that could result from hiring process missteps. You did approve that change for the LHOHC bill, and this would make move the authority to the LCC. Most recently, in my own experience, you may note that the Legislative Water Commission was recently reformed, and one of the first things that was done for the Legislative Water Commission was to hire a director for that commission. That process was handled very smoothly and professionally by the LCC staff. And in fact, after the process was finished, there were bipartisan comments of favorable review of their process. They know what they're doing, they do it well. And we believe that this change will actually protect Minnesota citizens. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. And just for the sake of the committee, we are here dealing with Section 7 of the bill, and it's the only section that we really have jurisdiction over in this committee. Representative Nelson, you're first on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I have an amendment. I think you should have it in the packets. The A13 amendment is mine. And what that does would delete Section 7 from the bill. And Mr. Chair, the reason I'm doing this and the reason I've got this in here is I know in the Lessard-Sam bill that came here before earlier, we made a slight change in that. In that case, I thought it made sense because in the past, the Lessard-Sam in law, the LCC in consultation with the commission hired staff. And the current statute for the LCCMR, and excuse me if I stumble and miss them up because we have so many similar acronyms that sometimes it's confusing, but the administrative authority remains with the commission. And so we're stripping the commission of their current authority to hire the staff, their director that they currently have and they've had. And my understanding, and I know there's some difference of opinion on this, but my understanding is that the current commissioner or director has done a decent job there. There's been not a lot of complaints that I've heard how she's handling that. And I know, and there's been some history here with the LCC with her, where in the past, without the authority, they tried to remove her. And then when they found out they didn't have the authority, they still tried to remove her. And then they were told they couldn't, and then she was left in her position. And I guess like my concern here of changing this under the current situation is we're setting up a hostile work environment for the current director of the commission. And I guess that I'm trying to, in my mind, I think we're creating the possibility of if something happens in the future, and the LCC goes about and does what they tried to do 4 years ago, that we're going to set ourselves up for a lawsuit. And I guess that's part of my thing here. It's I don't want to put us in a position where we're creating a hostile work environment for any state employees. And so that's why I want to remove this section, and then the bill can go on its way to the Ways and Means Committee, and we'll be done with it here.
Representative Nelson, would you like to move your amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'll move my amendment. The A13 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. The amendment is before the committee. Representative Torkelson, do you have any thoughts on the Nelson amendment?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Nelson, for bringing the issue forward. My motivation behind this is really aimed at the hiring process, a process that, as we all know, has gotten more prescriptive and loaded with proper legal procedures as time has gone on since over the years. I actually also serve on the Personnel Committee for my caucus, and, you know, we have to be very careful about how we handle the hiring process so that we don't step out of bounds. The LCC is adept at this, and I feel they would handle it much better than a citizen board might. So that is the reasoning behind it. I can assure you I have no personal motivation to fire anybody. That's not the reasoning behind this.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, too, share great appreciation for what the LCC does. But in this case here, they have a history with the current director. And I think putting her back under there could create problems for us. And I mean, if we were going and looking at having to hire somebody new, that might be the case where I might agree with Representative Torkelson. But in this case, I do not, at least for the time being. I mean, what is right now, what isn't broke, we shouldn't fix. So that's why I'm bringing the amendment forward.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just note that the membership of the LCC has changed dramatically since the point in history that Representative Nelson is referring to. If you would like more information about the details of the LCC, the director is here today and could come down, but I don't think that's necessary. I think this is a good amendment here for the right reasons, and I would urge a green vote.
Representative Torkelson, just to be clear, you do want the Nelson amendment dropped?
Okay. No,
you like, just to be clear, so you're speaking to your bill. You like the bill as is.
I'm speaking to the bill. I'm sorry. I was jumping. I was getting ahead of the process.
Mr. Chair, I was
just playing air traffic controller up here.
He was silent. I was wondering why he was cheering over there. Now I know why. I would urge that we not vote for this amendment. I think we should pass the bill as it was presented to the committee, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I know here I was getting all my hopes up that he said I had my argument had convinced him, but I recommend a green vote on the amendment and for the reasons I specified and go forward from that.
Okay. Any other member questions or comments to the Nelson amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Representative Torkelson, we're back to your bill, Section 7, as is.
Would you like to renew the motion, Mr. Chair?
Well, let's see. Are there any other member questions or comments? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, with that, I will renew my motion that House File 390 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The bill is passed and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next on the agenda, we have House File 666. Welcome to the committee, Representative Peterson. I will go ahead and move your House File 666 to be referred to the General Register. Welcome to the committee, and go ahead and let us know about your bill.
Thank you, Chair Sanders. This isn't my first bill to present, but as a freshman, I want to continue the tradition of bringing treats, and so with your permission, Chair, ask the page to pass this around. It is organic. It has even flaxseed, but it tastes really good. So I'm trying to be a little bit healthy with a little bit of, you know, and I apologize for not bringing napkins, but if you'd like, give them a try, and you can get them at Costco. Anyway, thank you for listening to my bill. This bill, as you may have heard, we've seen some large salary increases with the governor's position to raise the commissioner's salaries, and that has caused some outcry from the public. And basically what this bill does is it brings the legislature back into the process and allows the public to weigh in on salary increases. And if the governor would like to defend those increases, they certainly can be done. And this is, you know, not just for this governor. This is the governor's moving forward down through history. And it's really just bringing, I guess, the power back to the legislature and the transparency to the public, and so that they have the opportunity to weigh in on these decisions. And with that, I'll take any other questions or comments.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. I see there is an amendment, the A1 amendment in the file. Is that an author's amendment?
Yes, if we could move that as well.
Okay, thank you, Representative Peterson. I will move the A1 amendment to House File 666, and we'll let you speak to that amendment.
Thank you very much. What this amendment does is, since the public was not allowed an opportunity to weigh in on this decision, the pay increases that we found out almost 30 days after the fact, it would basically remove those salary increases until the process went through the LCC and the public had the opportunity to weigh in on those pay increases.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. Members, any questions or discussion? Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't on the committee, so I thought that we passed a law that allowed the governor to do that. And so my first question is, if we did pass the law allowing the governor to do that, did we do that, then why aren't we bound by the law we passed, and are we not getting into a lawsuit if we're taking away something that somebody's already had the legal right to? It seems pretty strange to take away people's property after they've received it legally.
Representative Peterson?
Chair Sanders and Representative Mallory, that is the current law right now, and those pay increases were passed less than a month ago, it would have been the beginning of January, and I think that it wouldn't be appropriate to give increases to people without the public having an opportunity to weigh in on that as far as what those legal ramifications are. I'm not a lawyer, but I think it's just a point of principle at this point.
And to your other point, Representative Mallory, we are bound by statute, but no statute can bind a future legislature. And so if it is the prerogative of this legislature, we certainly have the ability to change any statute with a new one. So we certainly have that ability in this legislation. Representative Mallory.
Mr. Chair, I'm very aware we can change the law, but we can't change the law backwards. And so this part of it, I don't agree with changing it going forward, but you can't go backward after somebody's received something legally under the law that we passed.
Thank you, Representative Mullery. I have Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think what Representative Mullery was talking about was the Compensation Council that last was part of the, 2 years ago, part of the State Gov Finance Bill, where the ranges were brought up. The other point of that is this was the beginning of the governor's second term, and you know, just like it was a new term and hiring new people, that would be the appropriate time for the governor to make those recommendations. You know, it was, and we gave him that authority in the statute, even though historical point is probably moot about it. But the House that did not come out of the House 2 years ago. That was something that was put in a conference committee by the insistence of the Senate. So I mean, we did not, but we did pass it off the floor as part of the government package. All right, but Mr. Chair, the question I have here deals with, I guess it's a question for the author, Representative Peterson, is the, in the past, I mean, why do you not want to pay the people commensurate with what the job duties they have? I mean, in the past, I believe when you were in the school board, you voted to raise the salary of your school district administrator, and that amount is actually higher than what the amount that the commissioner is going to be paid under the what the governor's proposing to pay or what the governor has increased her pay to, and that the commissioner of education oversees all the school districts. Should we be paying people similar to the private sector, commensurate with what they get, the duties they have?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Chair Sanders, Representative Nelson. This is really about talking about bringing the public back into the process and having that transparency. If you want to talk about my work on the school board, that was done in a very public way, and it was developed on a matrix of about 30 different measurable results, and we can talk about doing measurable results and things of that nature here, but this bill is really just specifically related to bringing the legislature back into those decisions and having the public an opportunity to weigh in on those decisions.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Peterson, the recommendations the governor made and were within the Compensation Council's recommendations, then the Compensation Council was made up of members of the House, members of the Senate, held public meetings, so there was transparency there. It was done after a study of what similar people got paid in the private sector, and it was a way to try and make sure that we hang on to the best and the brightest so that we have those people. And granted, we're not going to be paying them. I don't think anyone expects to pay our commissioners commensurate with what they'd be paid if they were a CEO of a company. That's another discussion we can have, but this was work that was done. This was done in open meetings about this is what we think these people need to get paid so that we can hang on to these people to do the important work we have for the state of Minnesota. And now when the governor goes forward and makes these decisions that we gave him that authority, it's his executive branch, to do this, now we're coming back and trying to micromanage the way the state is run. Are we next going to be looking at every salary of every of the guy that drives the snowplow in the Blaine area, and whether he's getting paid too much or not enough? I think we're heading down a dangerous path here of this committee and the legislature trying to micromanage every single part of government. And if we want to do that, then we probably better look at going to a full-time legislature because we're going to run out of time.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to just step back outside of this for a little bit and get some background for myself and for the committee, and maybe Representative Nelson has some of this background and experience from what he was talking about, maybe be an appropriate person to provide the information for the committee. I don't remember ever hearing any kind of a dust-up of this nature until this year. And Representative Nelson indicated that there was something that was done in conference offered by the Senate. I guess my first question is, Representative Nelson or another qualified individual, what did we do prior to that legislative change? How was this handled?
Representative Nelson, he's asking you to yield to a question. Do you have an answer?
As far as what we did, my member is a little fuzzy on that, but I know the 2 years ago in this committee and in the State Government Finance Committee, I don't remember if you were on it. I know I was on it. I think you were on it 2 years. She runs GovOps. They run together. But anyway, we heard the recommendation from the governors or from the Compensation Council in this committee. Chair Murphy at the time chose not to include it in the House bill going forward. It did go forward to the floor. Our bill did. Went to conference committee because they were different. The Senate had it in their bill. In the conference committee, we fought to keep it out, but the Senate insisted it be in. We did take out the portion of this, of the recommendations that were there dealing with legislative salaries that we didn't. There was they were looking in there to raise our salaries, and we took that out. We also took out a piece of it that was dealing with the governor's COLA, so the governor's salary would go up with inflation. That we took out, but the part that we're raising the salary ranges of what these people can get paid, and again, what the governor did is nowhere near the top of that salary range. That was brought forward and brought to the floor, and it historically, 2 years ago when it was debated as the conference committee report, there was a lively discussion on the floor of multiple minutes of why this was in there and why going forward, and people voting against it or speaking against it, I should say. So, I mean, that's the history that I remember.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I've been around here, this being my third term, and so I don't ever remember this being an issue as much as it is today. Is it possible that there was a drafting error that had occurred that changed this, or are your recollections, Representative Nelson, that it was a cognitive and deliberative move by the Senate to change that language?
Representative Nelson, he's again asking you to yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll yield. And I have a copy of the compensation report from March 11th of 2013 here, that for my records, that again, it's in law is what basically, except for the parts that I mentioned that we took out in the conference committee, it's verbatim what is in here, and that was what was put into law 2 years ago.
Chair. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if it's always been the House's position to, in essence, leave the statute and the procedure the way it was, why wouldn't the House, through its processes, continue to endorse that if that was what the majority at that time felt and the minority probably were in sync with that? Would we continue to advocate for the House position on this and go forward corrective legislation, or do we just say, oh, let's capitulate to what the Senate has done? We are two separate bodies in two separate chambers. I guess I don't really have a question on it. It's more of a comment or a rhetorical question for members to consider when they're deciding how they want to vote on this. Are we going to let the Senate drive that if we weren't happy with it 2 years ago, or are we going to stand up and say, no, the House has an equal and important vote on this as well? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if we need more background on it from Mr. Shepard, but that might be of interest. But my concern, Mr. Chair and members, is that the governor's decision was the initial volley in the whole setting the tone for all of the contract negotiations to come that are going to impact the next legislative session. So he took out of the governor took out of our hands a lot of the negotiating opportunities, because some of this has been set already in precedent, I guess, by the governor. So it seems to me it is a biennium, 16-17 biennium issue, budget issue, and for that reason, it should be something we deal with as a body, affecting the entire budget. So I don't know if there's comment to that, but I mean, I think this does start, you know, a whole cycle of negotiations that mean that many other salaries are going to take probably very big jumps. And I know that some people call this catch-up, but I want to remind folks, the private sector hasn't had catch-up per se. So I think the fact that we're back, you know, with with revenues that look like 2007 and 8, well, maybe that's something we ought to rethink a little bit more. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Runbeck. And I have a few more members on the list. If we can, let's target our comments towards the amendment. Let's deal with the underlying amendment, then we can go back to the overall bill. If Representative Scott, then Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, mine's on the overall bill. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the amendment, it's the current law. I'm supporting the current law. I know, like I said, the part I talked about with conference committee was what was for historical purposes. As far as the bargaining issues that were raised by Representative Runbeck, those are collective bargaining, and collective bargaining issues on other are not an indication of what the top salaries of the personnel have made. I mean, examples of CEOs and companies that they have collective bargaining, that Xcel Energy is a current one here, their average salary for their employees is almost $45,000 a year, yet they pay their CEO $15 million a year, which is what, 350 times what the employees make. The average salary we're looking at here with the raises the governor gave are still only 2.7 times higher than what the average employee makes for the state of Minnesota. And again, that won't affect future bargaining by the state. I'm hoping that our MMB, when they do their bargaining, does a hard job and does the job. I've sat at collecting bargaining tables in the past, and you expect both sides to come with the heart and send their best people there and try and get the best deal for themselves on both sides of the table and come to an agreement at the end of the day. And this should not affect that one way or the other. And so, Mr. Chair, I think the other thing piece of this, I think, is that going backwards, I mean, going forward, if we want to do this, I don't see that as much of a problem, although I don't like the idea of taking away what we already gave, again, and interfering with the governor's and the executive branch. But in this case here, going backwards and taking back salaries that were already given, I think, is a bad precedent to set.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair. And I actually have a question on the amendment for Representative Peterson. Is it the process that you're concerned about and how it was done and not the public input, or is it the salaries that the commissioners are being paid?
Representative Peterson.
Chair Sanders and Representative DeWitcomb. Both. Okay, so the reason, if the salaries can be justified by the governor, he should have no problem giving his arguments for that and justifying those salary increases through a public process. And so the concern was I think that people are okay with incremental salary increases, but when they are $35,000, $25,000, there's a lot of people that's their entire salary for the year, and these are already highly compensated employees that are appointed by the governor. So really the public has no input whatsoever on who these people are, what their qualifications are, but they should have an opportunity to weigh in on their taxpayer dollars and how they're being spent.
Representative Joachim.
So I hear it's actually more about the process as long as the salaries could be justified.
Representative Peterson.
Yes, I mean that would be up to the deciding bodies at that time. But to me, I think that's the important component of this, is to make sure that the public has the opportunity to weigh in. But the salary increases that we saw, I think there was a lot of eyebrows that were raised at the magnitude of how quickly they were given in right away. Or conversely, why weren't they given sooner before the election? You know, why did we have to wait till January to find out about this if the legislation was passed in 2013?
Representative Joachim.
Well, I can't speak to what the governor was thinking, but I do believe what Representative Nelson was saying, that with a new start to a four-year term, that it was actually because that's when you usually do give the raises. But I do have a concern with the amendment with the rescinding of the salary. If it really is about the process and you want to go back and talk about what people are getting paid, that sounds good, but we should be moving forward and not going backwards. I don't see any mechanism in the amendment on how that's going to be calculated, what's going to be rescinded, who's going to deal with that calculation. And I will wait for my other comments afterwards, because I have one. I'm actually as a local official, and I know there's a few of us on the committee that I have concerns of capping salaries and what it does to salaries underneath, so I'll wait. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Seeing no further member questions on the amendment, we will, Representative Peterson, do you have any last words on the amendment?
Well, I think, you know, I think from a logistical standpoint that you do have to look on how that will impact it. I mean, in theory, that may not be even a moot point. Maybe that if it goes through the process and people decide that that's an appropriate measure, then it won't affect it either way. But I think it's important to know that you want to make the process relevant, and you want to make sure that if you're going to go through the process, that there can be different outcomes than simply just rubber stamping what already happened.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. All in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The A1 is adopted. Representative Peterson, to your bill as amended. Are there any member questions? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Peterson, I'm looking on page 2, and I'm just looking for some clarification in terms of if you, line 2.17, I'm pointedly asking you if you can expand on what is detailed in section 43A.18 in terms of the criteria to consider for a salary increase. Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson.
Chair Sanders, I don't have that specific statute in front of me, but it is in relation to making sure that, like, the LCC or another organization like that would have an opportunity to weigh in on what these salaries should be.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if Mr. Shepherd has any expansion on that.
Mr. Shepherd, if you're prepared to give an answer.
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, yeah, the reference to section 43A.18, there are a number of criteria about compensation, relationships of positions. It says that the positions for the classified and the unclassified service compare reasonably. Compensation for state positions bears reasonable relationship to compensation for positions outside of state service. Compensation for management positions bears reasonable relationship to compensation of the employees managed, and compensation for positions within the classified service bears reasonable relationship among related job classes. And it says, defines reasonable relationship as meaning if the compensation for positions which require comparable skill, effort, responsibility, and working conditions is comparable.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Peterson, I understand you're in the public, you're in the private sector. You own your own business. And we're dealing with compensation that's normal, reasonable, customary, whatever you want. In your work, as it would apply to what Mr. Shepherd just elaborated on, when you hire or take an account for your employees, upon do you have objective criteria that you, too, in the private sector would consider for a salary increase or some type of a substantial increase in pay? And upon what basis is that made?
Representative Peterson.
Chair Sanders, Representative Albright. Thank you for that question. Yes, I've had close to 100 employees, and some of them were highly compensated because they're pharmacists. And so, however, I never saw a pay increase of the magnitude that we've seen from our governor ever. And and I think that more of an incremental approach, as well as having measurable results. I think that that's really what we've seen a little bit more, is there's objectives and goals, and if you met those goals, that would maybe justify a salary increase of that sort.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Peterson, in your consideration or deliberations about awarding or feeling objective, based upon objective criteria to provide a salary increase to one of your employees, did you ever do that unilaterally?
Representative Peterson.
Chair Sanders, Representative Albright, no.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if somebody could refresh my memory, so I want to go back here. So when the bill to change things in 2012 or 13, whenever it was, 2013, when the bill from the conference committee came back to the House floor, I'm assuming it passed, and I'm assuming if somebody could refresh my memory on how the vote went down, it passed, and so I'm assuming that the legislature agreed at that time that they should hand over this power to the executive branch. And so I'm assuming that I don't know how the vote went down, if it was a down party lines or just what. I don't know if anybody can refresh my memory. Nobody knows, probably.
I don't know that we have that information in front of us at this time, Representative Scott.
Okay, so I'm guessing that probably the majority party voted with the majority, so they, most of them anyway, probably voted along with that to hand over this authority. And I think this is the right move, Representative Peterson. We need to get this back in the power of the legislature. We hold the purse strings. And I would hate to see Minnesota start handing over power to the executive branch, much like what is being absconded on the federal level by the executive branch there. And I'd like to have a roll call on this vote, please.
Roll call has been requested. It's my understanding, Representative Scott, that the vote coming out of the conference committee on the House floor was 70-63. Next on the list, I have Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Peterson, since you brought up your own company, I think a little better analogy would be somebody like General Motors. Do you think the CEO of General Motors, when he's hiring the people, division heads, calls together his board of directors to decide on their salaries?
Representative Peterson.
Chair Sanders, Representative Mullery. He is not a public servant. And I think that there is a difference between an appointed commissioner who chose to take this job with the salary that was presented 4 years ago versus a publicly traded company who's held accountable by their shareholders.
And I believe the CEO of GM is actually a she, but...
Is it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I thought that was General Electric, but I can't keep them straight.
Did you have a follow-up, Representative Mullery?
Well, if no, okay. Mr. Chair, it'd be just a comment that...
Great. Thank you.
You had talked about your company and the way you do things, so a much more closer analogy would have been a very large court.
Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We seem to be talking about two different things here. Are we talking about a salary increase that we think is outrageous, or are we talking about salaries? I think we're talking about salaries. And in this particular case, we have commissioners who, because of legislative inability to move forward on anything political and inability to do any raises, said, okay, enough. They've been frozen for 12 years. Let's put this in a commission. Let's put this aside and have some commission look at what's a reasonable relationship for compensation. As it said, a reasonable relationship for compensation with others with like jobs, comparable skill level, circumstances, education, authority, responsibility. What's reasonable? And they came back with this pay range, and the governor said, finally we can do a reasonable salary. And it happens to involve a 12-year jump for many of these people. And if you looked at it 12 years ago, there's basically CPI. That's the increase. This horrible increase is CPI over 12 years. It's not a bad increase. It just is simply that it blows. It feels bad. But feeling bad is not what we're about here. We're about here making responsible decisions. This is about a salary that's comparable to other salary responsibilities in these circumstances, at least in some of the cases. I think some of them should be getting even more. But the point is that it's about the salary that the governor is able to give his executive commissioners. This is very important. And because we're taken aback by a 12-year leap, does not mean that our feelings run the show here. And that's what I have to say.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad there's going to be a roll call on this. I As we look at this, like I said, we set up a compensation council, and it wasn't the compensation council set up salary ranges that hadn't been raised for a long time in the past. I mean, there's a little bit of misnomer here that we gave this to the governor. No, that we didn't give this to the governor. In past law, there was a cap of what the governor could pay based on the governor's salary. That's what we did. We raised that level of that pay range that the governor could pay is the people that have come to work for our state to try and do good work for our state and run our state efficiently so we can save money. I mean, that's what the compensation council did, was raise the salary ranges. It didn't raise how those salaries were approved or not. It just raised the salary ranges, and that's what we did in the compensation council 2 years ago. I'm going to vote against this bill. I think this is, as Representative Lane said, this is going back and governing something I don't like. It's a political move. It's not good government. It's not moving forward. It's not what we should be doing here. As government is trying to micromanage again the government of the way we run the state of Minnesota. We should be setting your policies that allows the people that we've hired to do their jobs, the ability to do their jobs, instead of micromanaging things that they do. And so I'm voting against this bill. I think it's the wrong way to go, and I think the number is appropriate number.
Well, thank you, Representative Nelson, and certainly respect your opinion, but it is absolutely, in my opinion, the job of the legislature to micromanage the executive branch. Separation of powers. It is our job as a legislature to provide checks and balances and to make sure that taxpayer dollars, which these salaries are, and all expenditures are done and executed in the most wise and efficient manner. So it is. I will just say, I at least in my opinion take exception to that, and that it is absolutely our job to have say over these issues. Next on the list is Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair. I was trying to gather my thoughts here because there's a lot of stuff being talked about, and I wasn't here last year, so I'm not as familiar with the subject. I really like what Representative Lane said about talking about salaries, and it's hard sitting here as a person married to a public servant and having been a public servant in the city council for a very long time, 9 years, to always hear, well, you're a public servant, so you should be taking the job and not worrying about the pay, because that's what service is. These people are running really very large departments on the scale of what we see at the local government. We had a commissioner of education that was not making more than almost any superintendent that was out there, and having hundreds of times the responsibility. So it's really, really hard, and I do appreciate the public process and wanting people to be able to weigh in and having a checks and balance, but a checks and balance isn't dictatorship, and I feel like the amendment that just went on was. It was political. It was taking away money that was already spent. I'm all for going forward and looking at something, if that's the right course in action, but to sit here and try to say that public servants shouldn't get paid what they deserve because they're public servants, it's kind of tough to take. I know at our city level, and I've heard from both of my cities, our city managers are having a really, really hard time keeping people underneath them that are in technology, because they can make so much more in the private sector, but their salary is continually bumped up against what a city manager has. We've lifted the cap on superintendent salaries because of that. Schools were finding a hard time keeping technology. We want our schools to do all this STEM work and all this technology work, and they can't find the people that'll come and work for the money they're getting paid. So I would just really caution people a little bit on and some of the stuff they're saying about public servants, because frankly, while some of us may find the increase all in one lump sum uncomfortable, but as Representative Lane said, they've been frozen for a long time.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there isn't really so much a question to my comment, including my comment, but I did want to respond a little bit to what Representative Lane said in terms of separating the factions of the argument. The reasonableness that I think that this bill talks to is exactly as Representative Peterson and Chair Sanders have discussed in terms of the oversight function that is our responsibility. That's why we are elected. That's why we are sitting in these seats, is to have consideration and to have a vibrant conversation about what is reasonable. But as I look at these salaries and as I've seen them in committee meetings previously, this reasonableness, I don't know that we're achieving that when you consider that nationally, with this pay increase, every one of our commissioners who do, and make no mistake, they do yeoman's service on behalf of all the constituents and citizens of Minnesota, but that moves them from where they're at into the top quartile of all commissioners nationally. And I wonder if that's what was desired in terms of a reasonableness. And as it has been said, and as commissioners we've all heard on the news have said, they took this job understanding that they could very capably make more in the private sector. So to the extent that the argument is made about that we need to retain good people, there are myriads of good people out there that also want an opportunity to serve their state. And to the extent that these people feel that they have fulfilled that mission and move on, I wish them Godspeed and look forward to the new ideas and the new energies that others might bring to the table. But we haven't seen that. They've stayed. So there must be a compelling reason on behalf of the commissioners that we do have sitting at the table and overseeing these departments. There must be a compelling reason other than compensation for them to stay. So it begs the question in terms of what parameters, what scope, and that's why I was asking Representative Peterson for upon what basis is in statute for these commissioner heads to receive salary increases. And as we look at what was done, and I understand that there may be some motivation based upon a conference committee that came out last biennium and whatnot, but I dare say that when we talk about reasonableness, when we try to effect, as Representative Lane said, a differentiation between logic and emotion, I think we have to take a look at what is reasonable from the standpoint of, do we want to cap out our commissioner heads in the top quartile in one fell swoop, or do we want to make sure that those folks that have an opportunity to serve our state in years to come have an opportunity to grow with the position as well? I dare say that if I were in one of those departments and saw my leader receiving that size of a increase, I dare say what it must mean about what my pay is worth. And I wonder what is yet to come with those compensation structures as well. So I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Representative Albright. Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm worried about this idea that public servants simply must be paid barely enough to get by on because you know they're doing good public service. I point to some of the representatives that I came in with or were here with in the past who left because they could not afford to stay, and they were some of the top legislators that I have worked with. One came in as a single guy, and by the time he left, he had two children. He says, I can't stay any longer. I can't do this because we didn't pay enough. We can't raise our own salaries for the same political reason that we're talking about right here, right now. Another one was got an offer from a private sector. These people did not leave because it was politically unfeasible. They weren't going to win election. They left because they could not afford to stay. So if we want top-notch people, we need to make sure that they can afford to stay. And I suppose at the commissioner level, we're not talking about afford to stay, but we're talking about compensation for their skills, for their responsibility level. I think of the largest, the commissioner of Department of Human Services, my goodness, huge, huge budget, huge number of people under her, huge political attack on her personally for so many different issues. Why does she stay? Because she has a certain loyalty to the governor. Loyalty is at some point will break because it becomes very difficult. You have to at least compensate these people at a level that is commensurate with other states. And you say the top court, this will leap us into the top quartile. That means 25% that we'd have 25% of the commissioners across the nation higher than this. And that's just right now. We don't know what they're doing in this legislative session. Are they doing pay raises right now so that at the end of this session we would be in the middle? That's what we need to look at. So some of these arguments just actually just drive me crazy.
Representative Nash.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Lane, I understand compensating people. I understand that you say we should pay people what they're worth. Did some research, and the median income in your district is $51,888. The people who were being compensated were all making well over six figures. And I just find it a little bit disingenuous that this is being justified, and I would ask you to yield for the question. There are, of the people in your district, 32.4% of them are actually making less than the amount that was given in raises. Let me see that again. That's 32.4% of the people that you represent are making less than $34,999. And I just guess my question is, are you saying that the people in your district are less talented than the commissioners, or that, I guess six figures is a pretty high salary for folks, and they should be able to get by on that. I'm just mystified as to that, and I think that the amount of the raises that were given again speaks from the perspective of the governor as contempt for the people of your district and contempt of the people of other districts here. So I would ask for your yield for a question.
Representative Lane, Representative Nash is asking you to yield. Are you willing to yield?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Molly, Representative Lane has the floor right now.
Well, Mr. Chair, I've been here 19 years, and we don't say that other people have, other legislators on the committee have contempt for their member, their district people. So,
Mr. Chairman,
I really think we need to tone it down a little.
Thank you, Representative Mallory. Members, I will just say, let's keep our comments above board and keep personalities and motives out of this. Representative Lane, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yes, I appreciate that comment because there is a line which we are not supposed to go, impugning motives to me, I think is the way we call it. But to the subject at hand, again, I was surprised that it would be actually that much because our salaries don't even meet that level, and people are concerned that we're paid too much. So this is an ongoing discussion around salaries, and we don't compare. I have four son-in-laws, but I have one son-in-law that makes a good deal of money. I have to remind him that it isn't just his specialness that gets him that money. It's luck and perseverance on his part and good work. But it actually has an element of luck to it, too, that he is in the top 1%, so that he can't then start to feel like he deserves it, he's special. However, we're not talking about anything about that at all. We're talking about, some of them are $145,000. For a person who is an executive of a very large department, that is not out of hand. As the commission that looked across the nation with other states and in the private market and said, this is reasonable. This is reasonable. And as it turns out, what we're objecting to here is that it's a jump because we haven't been able to be reasonable for 12 years. So it's the leap that is driving people to this right here. It isn't the reasonableness of the actual salary. Of course they can get by on it. Of course they can, but it is not anything that they would get if they were in the private sector, as we see when they do leave and get a different job, but it is reasonable for the job we are asking them to do here.
Representative Nash.
Mr. Chair, and I will apologize if you inferred that I was saying that you had contempt. I actually said that the governor had contempt in the raise of these salaries. I was not impugning your integrity at all, so I just wanted to make sure that that was clear and on the record. And the other question I had for maybe House Research is, we've heard that the commissioners didn't get a raise for the last 12 years, and as I understand it, they did get raises in 14 and 13. Is that correct? Can we have House Research clarify that for us?
Mr. Shepard, are you prepared to give an answer?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash and members, yes, after the 2013 legislation passed, the commissioners did receive raises in 2013 and 14. And if you're interested in the history, there's a spreadsheet posted on the Legislative Coordinating Commission website under their tab for the Subcommittee on Employee Relations that has history of those salaries.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard. Representative Nash.
Mr. Chair, no further questions.
Representative Joaquim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if I have a question as much as a comment that was brought up within the discussion. Like Representative Nash, I've done a little research too. I'm a little bit of a data geek as well. We've talked a lot about, and I'm glad Representative Albright brought it up, that he shares the concerns with the cost, the salaries of the employees below the commissioners. And we've talked a lot about comparing to the private sector, and I hear that constantly from people. The government should run more like a business. It would all be better if the government ran more like a business. And if you look at that in that context of commissioners, the Commissioner of Human Services runs a $15.7 billion business. The Commissioner of Management and Budget runs a $908 million business. The Commissioner of Natural Resources runs a $689 million business. And all of our commissioners don't make more than three times the average of what their employees make. Three times sounds like a lot until you look at some of our homegrown businesses. Our homegrown businesses like 3M, where the CEO makes 364 times what an average employee makes. Or Target, where the CEO makes 288 more times than the employee makes. Or Medtronic, a little bit smaller, 200 times more. Polaris, $191 times more, or down to Articat, where the CEO makes 49 times more. So I wanted to put that a little bit in perspective, that, you know, we're not, I know the raises may seem like they came quickly, but when we're talking about salaries themselves, and if we do have a public process, I'm sure that the governor will be able to say that their commissioners are getting paid commensurate with the duties that they're performing.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Couple of things that have come to mind on this. A lot of our commissioners, based on what Representative Joaquim says, that they can discharge their duties as commissioner in an agency and have a separate business on the side of the multi-billion dollars that she's talking about, unless she perhaps misspoke by saying that somehow the government, these agencies are a business. They don't think they meet the definition of business, but I'll just leave it at that. One of the things that really, really, really concerns me that I'm seeing more in the last 2 years and kind of some tailover now is the legislature's willingness to abdicate its role, its authority to the executive branch. Previously, this committee has heard, and I have been a vocal opponent against expedited rulemaking. Who gets the expedited rulemaking? The commissioners and the agencies to be able to promulgate rules without having to go through the full process. We gave many exceptions to that. That's abdicating our authority and process to the executive branch. I'm also concerned about the fact that we have, as a House, taken a position that said we want to have the process stay in place, went to conference committee, the Senate came back, and now we're going to say, well, we're just going to capitulate to the Senate. We don't ever want to really talk about the process again. We don't really want to talk about how we're going to be able to put it back to the way the legislature had some skin in the game and we're at the table. Third thing that concerns me is that we had in this committee, low 2 weeks ago, two proposals for constitutional amendments for us to just think about giving the governor's office more authority in vetoing constitutional amendments, which are reserved for the legislature to be able to move forward on. Perhaps we are going to be running more like a business and we can just get rid of the legislature and abdicate all of our authority over at the governor's office. But I don't think constitutionally that's going to stand. So, members, I encourage you to support Representative Peterson's bill, although not perfect. I don't think anybody around this table believes that commissioners are overpaid, It's a process. It's how the compensation takes place. It's our duty, our authority, our responsibility as members of the legislature to keep our authority, our duties, our responsibility in this branch of government. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Seeing no further member questions, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, Representative Peterson, any closing comments on your bill?
Thank you, Chair Sanders. I just want to thank members for having a conversation about this. I think that that's a really important thing. We weren't really part of the conversation before, and so I think this is a really healthy discussion at this point, and I really encourage you to make sure that we get the power back that we truly are responsible for overseeing the taxpayer dollars and how they're spent. Because remember, it's $1.4 million of limited resources that could be maybe spent elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. A roll call being requested. The roll will be taken.
All right, the roll will be taken, starting with the chair, and then vice chair, then DFL lead, then in no particular order.
Chair votes aye.
Vice Chair Cindy Pugh?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Albright?
Aye.
Representative Fenton?
Aye.
Representative Halverson?
Aye.
Representative Lane?
No.
Representative Mullery?
No.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Runbeck?
Aye. Aye.
Representative Seltzer?
Aye.
Representative Tice?
Aye.
Representative Joachim?
No.
There being 11 ayes and 4 nays, House File 666 is referred as amended to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Peterson.
Thank you.
Members, that concludes the agenda for today. Tomorrow, the subcommittee on the Met Council will meet during this
time. Mr. Chair, shouldn't this have gone to state government finance because of the fiscal note implication of it?
Representative Nelson, we did consult and we were told the General Register. We will talk to staff, and if it does need to go back, we'll make sure a motion on the floor is made.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to make sure.
Yep. Thank you, Representative Nelson. So House File 752 will be in the subcommittee tomorrow, and then we will meet back on Thursday to hear more bills. That, members, we are adjourned. Thank you. Thanks.